Welcome to the Peace Church Life Group Leaders Podcast. As a church, we've been called to help everyday people experience life change through Christ-centered relationships. And life groups play a crucial role in that mission. This podcast is a resource to help equip you as you seek to lead your life group well. I'm your host, Drew Hill, and I'm with Aaron Pierce, our multiplication pastor and leader of our life group ministry. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Peace Church Life Group Leaders Podcast. Today we are covering a very important topic. The question is, how do we create vulnerability within our life groups? Now, this is an important topic for two specific reasons. First off, we want our life groups to be a place where people can come and feel safe to share and be real with one another. We want them to be known there, right? Also, without vulnerability, a life group can feel stagnant. It can feel shallow, and so it's important that we create environments where people feel like they can be vulnerable with one another. And so, Aaron, how do we create vulnerability within our life groups?
Like you said, this is a really underrated part of life groups, and we all know this. We want meaningful relationships. We don't just want to show up for a casual Bible study, because let's be honest, that's going to get boring, it's going to get old, and why waste the time? But if I can really put myself in an environment where I'm known, where I'm sharing life with people and they're sharing back, that's where it's at, and that's what we mean by vulnerability. And I do want to say something as well. There is a difference, too, between transparency and vulnerability. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Drew. You don't know this is coming. What's the difference between transparency and vulnerability? You guys should see how big his eyes just got.
I don't know. I think transparency maybe is people are willing to talk about and be real with what's going on, but vulnerable is when you really let your emotions come out and where you're real with how that's affecting you, maybe. That's a guess, so we'll see.
No, that's pretty good. I give that like a B plus.
Take it. C's get degrees.
That's right. That's your life motto? No, I'm just kidding. So, no, but on the real, like, so transparency is essentially being honest, right? And you need that. I mean, if somebody's not transparent, they're just kind of sitting there. But if they're sharing some things that are honest about their life, that's good. Vulnerable is like where I'm sharing things that are pretty, not necessarily like super deep or super secret, but just I'm sharing things or feelings or thoughts that actually, if you heard me, it makes me look like not perfect, or it makes me look less than you might think I am. So, for example, if I share as a pastor in my life group, man, I struggled with my prayer life this week. Honestly, I didn't want to pray. I want to get better at that. Like, that level of vulnerability, it's kind of like people look around like, hey, aren't you supposed to like have this thing? You know what I'm saying? Like, it gives off this whole persona of, wow, like I'm really sharing something meaningful. I'm not just being honest. I'm actually even going further than that. And so all that to say, that is what we're striving for. It doesn't arrive there instantaneously. And we talked about it last episode. So let's talk through, how do you actually make that happen? Five simple things, and these will be brief. So let's break them down. The first is you need to use the guidelines regularly. So what this is doing is making sure, if you remember the guidelines, we send them out from time to time to use, encourage you to use them regularly. Those are the things where it has like, you know, no crosstalk, no rescuing, no fixing, all those things. The reason that's so important is that is setting the culture and the tone of the atmosphere of your group meeting. So if you don't have something kind of guarding that, it's really hard to be vulnerable in a setting that doesn't feel like it's got a purpose or an aim, or it doesn't feel safe to share. Because if everybody's kind of cutting up and talking on the side, or their body language shows that they don't care, like all of those things that the guidelines mention set the tone for somebody to feel open enough and safe enough to share and be real. And so use those guidelines regularly. I would encourage you as group leaders, and I realize you may feel like it's redundant, but I would do it at least once a month, if not more. And I would also do it anytime you have a new person step in, because you want them to feel the safety of that environment and stated from the beginning. So first principle, how to create vulnerability, is use the guidelines regularly. Secondly, be intentionally relational in and outside of your group meetings. We talked about this on the last episode, so I don't want to repeat all of what we said, but essentially, in order for there to be vulnerability, there has to be trust. And in order for you to develop trust, you need relationships. You're not going to stand up on a Sunday morning in front of a bunch of strangers and confess all the sins you had that week, right? But you might share some things with somebody that you know really well. And so those relationships are so key, which is why doing social events and things like that matter. But I want to take it one step further. not just relationships in terms of hanging out, though that's good, but actually looking at it from the perspective of discipling relationships, spiritual relationships that you can form with people in your group, talking about spiritual things that leads to that deeper trust. So we have said this before on the other podcast, the discipleship podcast we do, so I'm going to quiz Drew on this and see if he knows, but we say there's two types of intentional discipleship. There's formal and informal. So Drew, what's the difference? You're getting quizzed today. I just realized this.
Yeah.
We're going to see if you're a C, B, or A student. You got a B plus, so we'll keep score. Let's see how you're doing this one. But
All right. What
is the difference between formal and informal discipleship?
Formal is like there's a structure. A lot of times, I think at Peace, there's like the one-on-one where we go through like the foundational stuff of walking with Jesus, and then you got the D groups, and that's going to have more structure. You're likely going to have more people involved. There's a high amount of accountability and stuff, and so that's like your formal discipleship. And informal is like going fishing with a friend, but being intentional about, hey, we're having a spiritual conversation as we do this, or just serving alongside somebody. I know for me, informal discipleship a lot happened in my life when I like went to camp, and like there were these volunteers who were like pouring into me, cared about me, were praying for me, but it wasn't necessarily this structured thing. So
yeah, dude, that's A plus, by the way.
A plus.
You got B plus, A plus. You said C's the degrees, but C's get degrees, but you're not there, man. You're a BA student right now. So
let's
see if you can join Beta Club after the next question. No, but you're right. So the reason we bring that up is formal discipleship, like you said, is those structures we have in place, and you may not have the time to do that in this current season, or you may already be involved. And so you can't go and start two D groups or have five people you disciple one-on-one. You don't have that time, and I understand. And, you know, God's not asking you to do that necessarily in this season. But you can always informally disciple people. Take them out to lunch. Speak life into them. Just invite them over to the house and talk about God. Get to know them in their spiritual life, and or maybe find out their story. Like, those types of things are informal relational components that are centered around spiritual things that lead to more trust, so that when you get into a group meeting, those informal discussions you've been having with group members can allow for a greater level of vulnerability, because they know you know their heart. And it's just that sort of intentionality. Think of it like this. We use the word, or I've been using the word a lot lately. I like this term, is think of doing this as withness, W-I-T-H-ness, right? Like, I'm with you. And so you're just doing life with these people, formally, informally, whatever the setting, and you're pouring into them spiritually. So use the going back where we've come so far, how to create vulnerability, use those guidelines, be intentionally relational in and out of your group meetings. Number three, make use of the breakout meetings. So we used to call these D groups, and then we actually developed real D groups, and so we've had to change the name. But breakout meetings is where guys and girls separate, and they share more personal questions with the purpose of trying to get deeper, because there are things you won't share in mixed company that you might share with just guys or just girls. And so by doing that, that allows you to do it. Now, I know sometimes the temptation is not to separate guys and girls. You might struggle to figure that out, or you forgot it was a breakout meeting. But listen, life group leader, don't miss the opportunity that this creates. Separating those guys and girls, it's not just a formality. It really is an opportunity to see God work and do something that creates more vulnerability, so that even when you come back, there's a greater level of sharing because of what has taken place in those breakout meetings. I'll just ask you, Drew, because we actually changed the structure of the life group, college life group, about a year ago. It was mixed, and we realized with a lot of singles together, that wasn't the best. Where married couples can sometimes share things related to marriage or kids, but especially young adult singles, it was hard. And we separated the guys and girls permanently. And man, what a difference it made. So can you share a little bit about how you saw the level of sharing increase whenever we did that?
Yeah, I think it's just, it's been a huge part of seeing our life group grow, seeing the people be able to be more consistent and just open in their lives, because there wasn't this pressure of, oh, my boyfriend is in here, or my girlfriend is in here, or, you know, I don't really know, you know, this person that well, and I maybe not don't want to share around them. And the thing is guys can relate to guys when it comes to certain things, and girls can relate to girls. And so specifically for our age group, it's been awesome to see God really use that. And the thing is in, you know, a life group of couples, I think it can create a really unique time in which people can share stuff that they're struggling with that they may not share in mixed company. Maybe it's not even something that's to be ashamed of, but it's something like, hey, I just need my brothers around me to be praying for me in this, walking with me through this. And so it's been a game changer for us. And so I would say, man, take advantage of those breakout times for sure.
Absolutely. And so that's a key to creating vulnerability. And that's why we build them into the rhythms of life groups. And so don't squander that. Don't skip that. Use that to its fullest. Fourthly, how to create vulnerability is be purposeful to set the tone by sharing yourself. Again, we said this last group meeting of talking about overcoming the quiet group discussions, but this is just as important. You've got to make sure that you are setting the tone yourself, because if you don't, it's going to be really hard for people to feel safe to share when you as the leader don't. And here's what's even, I've actually seen this happen in a group meeting where somebody is very vulnerable, or maybe one or two people are, the group leader's not, and it almost makes it more awkward, because instead of it becoming, oh, look, the leader is setting the tone, it's like these other people are sharing, but I don't know if the leader likes it, and he or she may change the subject or whatever because they're uncomfortable, right? You have to sit in the awkwardness, be willing to put yourself on the table and share in a way that's meaningful, because that will help set the tone. You can't expect others to do what you're not. And I've heard this saying recently by Robbie Gowdy. He says, a river will never flow above its source. Meaning if you're the leader, you're the one setting the tone for your group, and if there's not, for one, God working in you, it's going to be really hard to expect that to happen elsewhere because you don't have anything to share from. But even on just the example of being vulnerable, if you're not willing to be vulnerable, they're not going to rise above you normally and be vulnerable in your absence. And so make sure you're setting the tone and own that as a leader. Last thing, number five, is just be patient. We said this in the last group meeting as well, or podcast episode as well. These things take time. Trust takes time. Relationships take time. If your group is new, especially, you're not going to have vulnerability the first week or first month, more than likely. You should increasingly get there, but it may take a while, which is why we've encouraged groups to stay together a couple semesters to build the trust to get to that point. And so just be patient and be prayerful in that as well. Don't just patiently wait on your own. Patiently wait and pray that God would break through. That's why even one of the new guidelines we've added in is expect. That is, we want to expect God to move, but we've got to be expecting that from Monday through Friday or whenever your in-between group times are, that you're praying and asking God to work and create that vulnerable environment. And so with that said, those are those five things. We hope that helps, as we want to help us to create vulnerability. So just as a refresher real quick, use those guidelines regularly. Be intentionally relational in and outside of your group, using informal and formal discipleship to invest in people. Three, make sure to use the breakout meetings. Be purposeful to set the tone by sharing yourself. And last, be patient and be prayerful as you seek vulnerability in your group.
Yeah, thank you guys for tuning into this episode of the Life Group Leaders Podcast, and also Drew's Quiz Time.
We've enjoyed passed with it. Flying colors.
Yeah. Make sure you guys check out our podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen. Like and share. And until next week, have a good one. We'll be right back.